Hello, I'm Mark Horsburgh, the author of the Tales of Woken Bay series. This is book two of the series. Book one is available on Amazon, downloadable for tablets and mobile phones. Hard copies and further information and activities for young salts can be obtained through my website, www.wokenbay.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and now let's start the story, shall we? Book 2. Seymour, the Sandy Bay Ferry.
Seagull poo, not today of all days, winced Seymour.
The sun was shining, the seagulls were cheerfully squawking, and Seymour was about to burst with excitement, until he realised seagull poo was dripping down his windscreen. Seymour was the Sandy Bay ferry for Wokeham, the most picture-perfect little seaside town you've ever seen. It was the start of the holiday season, and Seymour's job was to deliver excited families from the town to have fun on the beach. It was a 15-minute ride on Seymour the ferry, or a 40-minute walk. Which one would you young salts choose to get to a beach? Wokeham was a special place. Families would return each summer, year on year, to spend a week or two experiencing all the area had to offer. And it offered a lot. The seaside town was situated in a perfectly sheltered estuary, so all manner of water sports were available for everyone. Sandy Bay was the main beach, but dotted between the cliffs were several enticing small bays, only accessible with a small sailing or rowing dinghy. For those who wanted to explore under the sea, it had a number of shipwrecks dating back hundreds of years to the days when pirates besieged Wokeham. There was one special wreck that no one was allowed to visit, as it was said to be laden with Spanish gold. More about that another time, young salts. Seymour had never felt so good. Over the winter, Seymour's hull had been repainted a vivid royal blue, the cockpit where the skipper drives the boat a brilliant, almost sparkling white. The worn-out grey canvas dodger, designed to protect passengers against unexpected splashes, had been replaced with a new yellow one. Fresh red and white bunting stretched from the bow to the stern to entice holidaymakers to hop on board. Each day from his night mooring in a sheltered creek, Skipper Salt and his son Jack brought Seymour to Blue Strand Pontoon for work.
"What's a pontoon, I hear you young salts ask?"
"A pontoon's like a floating walkway where people can get on and off a boat easily." The father and son team had crewed Seymour for nearly 5 years now. Seymour loved the way Skipper Salt taught his 15-year-old son the ways of the sea, and each year Jack was able to take on more and more responsibility. Sometimes Jack was allowed to drive Seymour, but only when they weren't carrying any passengers. As the weather was so good, a queue had formed, and Seymour wondered if there'd be enough room for everyone. He could carry up to 30 passengers each way on the 15-minute trip to the beach. Mums and dads, girls and boys, and the occasional frisky dog all made up the cargo. Seymour loved watching all the passengers climb aboard. Some were familiar faces, and others were new. Everyone looked pleased to see him. Some even noticed his new yellow canvas. On this particular trip, however, as the last few settled into their seats, Seymour noticed a rather fidgety young girl wearing a yellow fluorescent designer T-shirt. She was perhaps around 6 years old and was busily burrowing through the life jacket boxes under the seats as she tried to hide. Seymour could hear Skipper Salt remind the adults that they needed to keep an eye on their children and make sure they were seated.
"Lily, come out of there now,"
shouted her exasperated mother.
So sorry about that, she apologised to the other puzzled passengers. Sit down next to your father now.
Once the girl was settled, Jack cast off the ropes and Skipper Salt put the engine into drive, steering carefully away from the pontoon. As the warm southerly breeze made ripples over the estuary, Seymour felt relieved that the first real test of his newly serviced engine was taking place on a calm day. All the passengers were chatting happily, pointing out all the things going on along the Walcombe coastline. Seymour beamed. How he loved his job! Families were walking along the cliff coastal path, hoping to find a perfect picnic spot. Excited dogs, usually Labradors, dragged their owners along, sniffing out anything they could find. Yachts, canoes, dinghies, and even the odd paddleboarder were scattered across the sparkling waters of the Walcombe estuary. Gosh, it was busy. Skipper Salt knew he needed to keep a close eye out for anyone who didn't see him coming. Nosing round towards Sandy Bay, Skipper Salt radioed ahead. There was no way to let the passengers get off onto dry land at Sandy Bay, so Seymour always needed help from a special friend, Tooting Ted the Sea Tractor. Now, Tooting Ted was the most special tractor you've ever seen. Ted was able to drive down the beach and then go on into the sea. He was Seymour's oldest and best friend. In their work, they both needed each other. Seymour to bring the passengers to Sandy Bay and Tooting Ted to carry them to the beach. It was Ted's job to wade into the sea, up to and over his wheels, into water deep enough for Seymour to still float. Too shallow and Seymour could run aground and get stuck, or too deep and Ted's engine could choke through sucking in salt water. They'd done this 1,000 times, but both Seymour and Ted were mindful never to take risks and carefully linked together. The main aim was to safely transfer all passengers and get their day off to a good start.
"You're looking fine, my lad," exclaimed Ted while the passengers transferred across.
"Oh, Ted, it's so good to see you," said Seymour. "It seems far too long since we last saw each other." "Yes, I've had a makeover, a thorough service of my engines, and a lick of paint. I'm so lucky. What about you?"
As Seymour looked closely at his dear friend, he could see that the same care and attention had not been given to Ted. The sun-scorched canvas that ran the length of the tractor deck looked tired and worn out. The varnish on the sea tractor's seats was bubbling and peeling. Usually all these jobs would have been completed during the winter months. But this year, nothing.
"I know what you're thinking. I'm not at my best this season," said Ted. "But they don't seem to want to spend any money on me any more. They changed the oil in my engine and gearbox. But that's all."
Seymour felt upset and disappointed that his friend had been overlooked. Suddenly a loud shout interrupted Seymour's solemn thought. It was from the parents of Lily, the young girl who'd been hiding in the life jacket store. Lily had disappeared.
"Lily, where are you? Where are you, Lily?"
they shouted, while frantically checking to make sure she hadn't been mixed up with another family. Seymour and Ted looked knowingly at each other. It wasn't the first time a mischievous child had wanted to play a prank on their parents. They both chuckled together and had a good idea where young Lily could be hiding. Within seconds, Skipper Salt had winkled Lily out of Seymour's rope locker where she'd hidden. Skipper Salt then handed her back to her relieved parents. Lily was smothered with kisses and hugs from her mother, who then led her along the gangway onto Tooting Ted. In contrast, her father, as he sat down opposite them, gave her a rather cross look. Thankfully, they all then settled on Ted's seats as he drove off through the shallow water towards the beach.
See you soon, Ted, shouted Seymour as he headed off back towards his pontoon at Walcombe.
Looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear all the news from the town and...
But Ted suddenly stopped speaking. He realised Seymour wouldn't be able to hear him any more as Seymour was powering back to Walcombe. Young Lily Hiding had delayed Seymour, and Seymour hated being late. The day seemed to pass very quickly. 11 o'clock suddenly turned into 3 o'clock. Seymour and Ted had been so busy that they'd even worked through their lunch break. Beautiful sunshine and calm sea conditions had brought everybody to Walcombe for a good day out. Restaurants, snack bars, coffee shops and pubs were bursting with customers. As Seymour reached Sandy Bay on his 6th trip of the day, he noticed young Lily clambering over some rather jagged rocks, being hastily chased by her father.
"Let's play hide and seek, Daddy! I'm going to hide!"
she could be heard shouting excitedly as she ran off. Seymour knew it was Lily because she was still wearing the same fluorescent T-shirt. It was very wise of her parents to choose such a noticeable outfit, but not lucky for Lily, as her exasperated father soon spotted her amongst the rocks. "I've been watching that child run away from her parents most of the day," exclaimed Ted. "She's been running in between my wheels and trying to climb onto my back axle. Luckily, my driver Tom caught her in time before she hurt herself. Those parents have spent most of the time on their phones and not watching her. I feel sorry for the little lass."
"Dad has caught up with her now. Yeah, he's carrying her. Young Lily's laughing, but her father looks cross and is now talking sternly to her,"
observed Seymour. "Four more trips and I think we'll have earned a rest. My engine cylinders are feeling a little hot, and Skipper Salt's going to check my fan belt when we finish. See you later." Seymour turned once again to head back to Walcombe. Tooting Ted drove steadily back to Sandy Bay Beach, disembarking only 10 passengers this time. He knew the rush would start after 4:30, when the sea breeze would make it chilly and pangs of hunger would drive people back to town. He hoped that some of his earlier passengers would decide to walk the coast road back to town, but this was unlikely. Ted's wheels were weary, and the falling tide meant that on each run to reach Seymour, he had to travel further. He would be glad when the last passengers had gone. It had been very busy. Ted and Seymour had worked hard and continued to safely deliver many more passengers. So, when Skipper Salt declared it was the last delivery of the day, they were both relieved.
"So good working with you again, Seymour. I hate winters when I'm parked up on my own. Tomorrow you must fill me in about the new lifeboat,"
Ted gossiped happily. "I need to find out myself. When I tie up tonight, I'll be with the others, who will know more," replied Seymour.
"Good. I really look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Seymour. Weather permitting, of course. Toot toot."
Seymour nodded. Windy days meant Seymour stayed away. He suddenly felt a little sad for Ted. Every night, Ted was parked up all alone on Sandy Bay Beach. He didn't have anyone to talk to or share the day's stories with. In the past, this hadn't bothered Ted, but Seymour felt something had changed and Ted needed a friend. The evening brought changes to the Walcombe Estuary. A queue of passengers had formed ready for the short ride to Seymour, including little Lily in her fluorescent T-shirt. As Seymour waited in deeper water for Tooting Ted and the last passengers of that day, he watched the holidaymakers, young and old, packing up their towels, windbreakers, cricket sets, footballs, paddleboards and snorkels. The crowd of small pleasure craft, seen earlier, was replaced by gull-chased fishing boats chugging in with their catch and visiting yachts gracefully searching for a mooring buoy to tie up for the night. Slowly and carefully, Skipper Salt guided Seymour onto the Blue Strand pontoon. Crewman Jack jumped off to tie Seymour securely. However, without warning, a small fluorescent figure seemed to jump at the same time as Jack. There was a gasp from all the passengers as the little girl landed on all fours with a thud on the wooden boards, causing them to wobble unnecessarily.
"I'm first off the boat. Catch me again, Daddy," laughed Lily as she wiped the dirt off her hands.
"Suffering seagulls, your girl could have landed in the water and been crushed by our boat," shouted Skipper Salt to Lily's parents.
The other passengers started shaking their heads and staring disapprovingly as both Lily's parents were engrossed texting on their mobile phones. They hadn't realised Skipper Salt was talking to them.
"You'd better get off after your girl," insisted another more responsible parent, whose brood of three under five sat sensibly around her.
With apologies gushing from their mouths, they quickly leapt onto the pontoon, hoping to catch their errant offspring. Lily seemed oblivious to all the fuss and commotion coming from the ferry. By now she was heading up the gangplank into town and could be heard shouting the words, "Ice cream! Ice cream! I want an ice cream!"
"I hope they decide to walk to Sandy Bay Beach tomorrow," thought Seymour. "I don't fancy her on another trip this week."
It was the end of the first day, and with crewman Jack at the helm, as no paying passengers were aboard now, Seymour headed for his mooring in Smuggler's Creek. This was where Seymour would stay overnight, in a sheltered part of the estuary. It also gave him a chance to meet up with the other boats that lived in Walcombe, his friends. Once Seymour was safely tied up, Skipper Salt lifted Seymour's engine cover and spotted why his engine was running hot. The newly fitted fan belt had stretched and had been slipping. It needed to be tightened, which the father and son quickly fixed with a few turns of a well-placed spanner.
"See you tomorrow, Seymour,"
shouted Jack as they rowed away in a homemade dinghy they built together when they first came to Walcombe. Skipper Salt always laughed when Jack did this. He just didn't understand why Jack bothered talking to a boat. But you young salts do. Night was falling, and Seymour could hear the other boats arriving. Max, the mackerel fishing boat, came first, followed by Peter Potter, the lobster boat. But before Seymour had the chance to say hello, an unexpected wave washed up, making Seymour rock from side to side.
"Hello, Seymour. Busy day?"
Seymour caught a whiff of fishy breath and knew at once, even before he could see him, that it was Oscar Whiskers, the slippery grey seal, who always had a story to tell. Between excited burps, Oscar started to tell Seymour the entire goings-on in Walcombe that day.
"Listen up, Seymour. There's going to be a launching ceremony for the new lifeboat this Saturday. Mr. Strickport, the harbour master, has been checking boats to see if they've been leaking oil. Warn Max if you see him. Oh, and a little girl got found. She was balancing on the seawall by the lifeboat house."
"Was she wearing a fluorescent T-shirt?" asked Seymour.
"How did you know that?" probed Oscar.
"I know everything, Oscar," teased Seymour.
"Well, it's normally me that tells you everything,"
Oscar hissed as he swished around Seymour, disturbing the still water. However, Seymour took no notice. He was very tired, and within minutes he couldn't hear the chitter-chatter of Oscar. He was dreaming about the day's adventures and what was in store for tomorrow. Seymour hoped Tooting Ted the sea tractor was tucked up safely and wasn't too lonely. The holiday season had started, and he was sure there would be more excitement ahead.